It's funny that you say four things. I mean, that's a lot, still getting four things. Like when I started collegiate running, I remember our coach said, she said, schoolwork, running, friends, you can only choose two. We had to decide, like, oh, is running one of our things? Right.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, we're constantly navigating the order these things go in.
Welcome to the Podcast for Inquiry, brought to you by the Center for Inquiry Canada, a national educational charity supporting your community for reason, compassion, and secular humanist values. You have answers? We have questions. I'm your host, Leslie Rosenblatt, board member and secular chair for CFIC. Welcome. My guest today on Podcast for Inquiry is Sabrina Little. Sabrina is a philosopher and ultra runner. Her areas of research are virtue theory, character education, and moral psychology. She is a five-time U.S. national champion in trail and ultra running, a former American record holder, and world silver medalist. Sabrina is the author of The Examined Run, Why Good People Make Better Runners. In today's episode, Sabrina answers the question, why do good people make better runners? What are the performance-enhancing virtues, and do they outweigh the performing-enhancing vices? We talk about the difference in taking a short versus long-term perspective, what being competitive means, the importance and challenge of balancing the multiple areas of life that need your time and attention, and how the same behaviors can be described in very different ways. I am delighted to have an episode of Podcast for Inquiry devoted to the intersection of two things that loom large in my life, running and ethics. Here is my conversation with Sabrina Little. Sabrina Little, thank you for talking with me today on Podcast for Inquiry.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to talk to you about your book, The Examined Run, because it's a wonderful blend of two things that I am passionate about. One is running, and the second is being a good person, philosophy. And I spent a lot of time on both. I think my first question is, I want you to defend the subtitle of your book, Why Good People Make Better Runners. It's certainly provocative, but it's, to me, non-obvious, because I can see how being a good person can help. So it's not that I think it's necessarily wrong. But before I read your book, I also thought, no, I can think of jerks that I know who nonetheless are excellent runners, and I can think of certain qualities of not very good, not very nice, and not very moral people who nonetheless may have exceptional athletic prowess. So I didn't see, the connection was not obvious before reading your book. Anyone that hears the title and the subtitle might not see it. So let's start with that. Why do good people make better runners?
Yeah, it's a really good question, and it's meant to be provocative, right? It's provocative to me too when I hear it, because I think of all of the terrible, you know, instances of bad character and cheating and other vices, and not just in distance running, but in all sports, right? So the reason for that subtitle, so in the book, I'm talking about a number of virtues that you can develop in the context of distance running. Like, how do you use distance running as a laboratory to develop things like perseverance or patience, or even just kind of like an equanimity with respect to your emotions, right? All of these sorts of things. And these are good making features of a life, right? They help you to flourish. And I look at a number of vices too, right? So I have a chapter called Performance Enhancing Vices, right? So being deceptive, for example, or being intransigent, like willing to hold on even at cost to your body. Well, there are short-term benefits in something like that, right? So we know there are vices in sport. And in all of those cases, when I talk about these vices, I talk about alternative, like, virtues you could sub in their place that would have similar performance benefit. And so you could live a very selfish life with respect to the sport, right? Like, you could build your life around yourself and around your hobby and have kind of an outsensed, an outsized sense of its value. Or you could do what a lot of runners are doing today, which is kind of like lean into the community aspect of running and make it charitable and celebrate the goods of other people around you and their performances, because you can't always run, right? And there are benefits that come to that. And so looking at the major point that I wanted to make in the book is, like, our participation in sport is not morally neutral, right? We're either acting in terms of certain virtues and kind of like reinforcing them in a way that could impact our life outside of sport, or acting in terms of certain vices, right? And if there are trade-offs that you could make, like, instead of being envious, why don't you just lean into emulation and what follows from that? Are there performance benefits following from that? So yes, it's meant to be provocative. And also, I think you can be a really high level performer in distance running specifically without costs to character.
Right. And it's, I think there's a lot of things you just touched on there, and I want to drill down on a lot of them, but one of them is the perspective between the short term, the long term. Like, you can do something at a short term benefit that comes at a long term cost. And you write about this at one point. You had a phrase in your book that, as soon as I read it, it resonated very, very strongly within me. And it was death before DNF. And I was like, oh gosh, that's me. Like, I had to admit that. And for those that don't know, DNF is an acronym for did not finish. And, like, whatever it takes to get over the, I'm going to get over that finish line. And then if I keel over immediately after and die, that's fine, because I made it across the finish line. And I know that that's not a healthy attitude. That's not the one that I should be having. And I read that. I was like, oh no, she knows me. She's never met me. And I'm not like that all the time, but if it's something that I've decided is important and it's something that I want to absolutely have that, that aspect. So can you talk a little bit about how to I'm sure you're a very competitive runner. You must have that at least in some part, and how you balance that, and advice for others who won't back down on a goal that they've set for themselves, even if they really should.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I wish there were some line there where you could say, when you cross this, you are being recalcitrant and you are, you know, intransigent and you should really stop. But there's no decisive line, right? Like, line in the sand. And so it's something that you continually have to negotiate. Like, where is the limit, the moral limit in my participation in sport and that I shouldn't cross, right? So death before DNF, right? You would rather